The House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 10, 2015. It's the 21st day of the session. Pending deadlines, this list is getting longer. Today is the last day for second reading in the House. Tomorrow is the last day for third reading in the House. Tomorrow we will have a presentation in Committee of the Whole on the budget. That will continue on Thursday. By end of business Thursday, we will complete Committee of the Whole debate on the budget. And February 13th, which is Friday, through February 16th, which is Monday, we will be somewhere else. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Harvey,
here. Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings, Kasparik, Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone, Crone, Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Crone, Crone excused, 59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by the Reverend Rick Veit, representing St. Mark's Episcopal Church.
I'd like to offer a prayer for guidance today. Let us pray. Almighty God, we commend to your gracious care and keeping all the women and men of this House of Representatives. Defend them day by day, strengthen them in their trials and temptations, give them courage, and grant them a sense of your abiding presence as they continue with the business before them. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
Thank you.
Journal report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 9th, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
The doctor of the day is Kurt Chambly from Cheyenne. Please welcome him to the House. We're at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. First file for our consideration is Senate File 77.
Senate File 77 from Representative Perkins, or Senator Perkins, an act relating to restricted driver's licenses.
Senate File 77 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 111.
Senate File 111 from Senator Perkins, an act relating to Wyoming Probate Court.
Senate File 111 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 120.
Senate File 120 from Senator Ross, an act relating to the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act.
File 120 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to the Wyoming Right to Farm and Ranch Act.
Senate File 9 is assigned to Agriculture Committee Number 5. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 134.
Senate File 134 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to Wildlife and Livestock.
Senate File 134 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 43.
Senate File 43 from Corporations Committee, an act relating to telecommunications.
Senate File 43 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70 from Senator Dockstader, an act relating to public utilities.
Senate File 70 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 137.
Senate File 137 from Senator Meyer, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
Senate File 137 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to introduce some visitors from my and Representative Northrop's area. They're farmers. We got Mary Hetzel and Corey Foreman. And we have the manager of seed certification, Mike Moore, from up there, too.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 5, engrossed, Quebec Number 1, Historic Site 3, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 26, Challenge Loan Interest Rate, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 20, School Finance Excess Mill Levy Rebate, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yeagy, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Piperina, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Patton, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom we referred Senate File 32, Small Employer Group Health Insurance, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson. One no vote, Representative Edmonds. One excuse, Representative Harvey, signed by Representative Larson, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension, respectfully reports same back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson. One no vote, Representative Edmonds, signed by Representative Larson, Vice Chairman.
Re-referrals. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer Senate File 64 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 64 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee number 2. Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move to re-refer Senate File 20 from Education to Appropriations Committee number 2.
Senate File 20 is re-referred from or to Appropriations Committee number 2. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading.
Mr. Speaker, privilege.
Your privilege.
Oh, there's one back there. Representative Connolly, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the body, from my hometown in the South Gallery, we have Leadership Laramie and Government Affairs. Please join me in welcoming them.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Harvey.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
I would like to thank this, my second best family in the world, just to let you know how good they are. I have 3 notes to tell me I needed to refer that bill this morning. And some kind person, you know, for 13 years I've maintained the bird feeder in this corner. And this morning on my desk was a whole several sacks of bird feed. And I just would like to thank the person who donated that and let you know that it's here and open and help yourself. We track the best looking birds in the world here. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairman Harvey. Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please.
Last night, the House lost the karaoke trophy, and I want to apologize for that, and next year we will get it back. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Now we're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 144. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 144 from the Education Committee, an act relating to school safety and security.
There are amendments. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 144 and ask for your favorable consideration. If the body would turn to page 5, and look in Romanette 6 at the bottom of that page. It says, as determined appropriate by the unit of school safety and security, establish and require training protocols on school safety and security awareness and appropriate responses to information provided by the unit to law enforcement, dispatch centers, school districts, schools, and other necessary entities. I'm not sure the intent was to require training of, enforcement, dispatch centers, or school districts, or other entities. I don't know what other entities are. So I'm just going to take out the require, and basically what this does, and if somebody comes back in and explains why that's needed in third reading, I'll consider that. And what I do is basically take out and require, and then after training protocols. So it would read, as determined appropriate by the unit of school safety and security, establish training protocols, and then get it out to those individuals. So, Mr. Speaker, if there are any questions on that, I would be glad to answer them.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 144. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 144 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, in the committee number 2, we talked about this and we said, well, we'll first make our changes to the bill and how we fund it and try to make it as revenue neutral as possible by basically closing down one school safety and security section in a separate agency as we open a new one in the Attorney General's office. But we also recognize in committee, and I think members on the floor, we talked about it yesterday as well, that there's some stand-up time to this. And it's, and really the stand-up time is going to be as we move into next school year. So this deal is going to be effective immediately or in the, and then in through the summer. But so we felt we could basically delete two of those positions for now. And the positions that are authorized, we want to be very clear, and you can see that on the page or line 3 of your amendment, the executive management position or equivalent, the executive officer or equivalent, and the control terminal specialist. So that management person and that executive officer person are the folks who are going to set this up and really do the work on the ground with our 48 school districts. And so there's some travel involved and that kind of thing, but we felt that this time we didn't need to hire two more control terminal specialists. And so then you can see the corresponding drop in the appropriation. So I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is a good amendment. I think I'm going to vote for this. But I just don't think it goes far enough. I, being new on the education, wasn't privileged to hear everything that came out of the this presentation that they had during the summer, but I'm just a little leery of this, and we're creating a big agency and taking it down to 3 and taking it from this appropriation to where it is. I think that's a step in the right direction, but I'm just a little concerned with the whole bill. Thank you.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the amendment, this is a work in progress, and as it progresses through the two bodies, there might be further adjustments. But using the reasoning that it was the good chairman of the Appropriations Committee has just given, is a fair approach, at least at this time, with the changes that have been made in the body of the bill. So on and for the amendment. It's friendly.
Representative Freeman. It's on.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I question the amendment. Because one of the things that you have is that they have the 5 people there. They have 3 people at the terminals to where that they're going to blend in with what's going on at the current call center. And to have those people there to handle, I think, is important. The one that really, you know, I don't know, I'll be very honest, I don't know if they need 3 or not, but that's what they said they need. But the one that really I question as the outreach education administrator. This is the person who goes out to the different school districts and talks about the program, builds the program to where that it will be used by the school districts, the kids, the teachers. They set up the protocol to where that the system works. What we're replacing right now is a WETIP program that when I was in school, I never heard about it, and it was there for several years while I was there. If we don't have an active person telling the constituents that this is available, that you should use this, that this is positive, I don't think this system will work. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gurr. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just for a little bit more background on this, when they presented this package to us in committee number two, they're based upon the Colorado model, they're anticipating that when this is all fully up and running and everything's in place and all the education and outreach has happened, we'll get approximately 750 calls a year. Well, if you break that down, that's two calls a day. And then the question is, do we need three full-time employees to take two calls a day? And so our response is, well, we don't know that. Maybe they'll get more calls. Maybe the program will build on itself. But certainly when we just get this thing off and running, they already have seven people that will be trained to do this procedure who are in the call center. So just having one more for the certain times a day when that's vacant, I believe is more than enough till we stand this program up and make sure that it does what we're hoping it will do.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm in favor of this amendment. And so just keep in mind what we're doing. We're going to pass a law. The program will get stood up. We've got the supervisors in place. They'll have the rules and regulations or protocol. Maybe the program's in place this next school year. But then the outreach person needs to get out and communicate with all 48 districts with this. And then we'll be coming around to our regular budget cycle. And so the reason for cutting back on the call center is that already there are seven folks in that call center with other duties. And they were looking for three more so that they were able to double up. Okay? And the fact of the matter is the program's not going to be as effective for at least 9 months. From a practical standpoint, if not longer. Okay, so then we looked at the state to the south of us that started this program. And you look at the chart that was handed out, and you'll see in their first 2 years, they were right at like 102 and 112 calls. 102 the first year, 112 the second year. So if we reduce those down for the first couple of years for the stand-up for the state of Wyoming, just from our population, and quite frankly, I think we're much better behaved individuals, but that's an aside, is that we're not going to have the volume of calls for the need for that call center to be able to double up, at least in this first year. So then we get around to how we're going to sort this out between one department and the other department when we get to our standard budget next year. Then we can look at, do we really need to have three new people in that call center? So for right now, this is just ratcheting this down to meet the needs, the realistic needs that are expected for the program. So hopefully that helps, and I hope you support this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been assured that the outreach person will be out there to get this program up and running, so vote your conscience.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I appreciate the member from the place where the river's green. That's exactly the intent, is to keep those two positions that are going to go out and stand the program up and make it effective. And then by reducing that call terminal specialist down to one, we, in fact, then make this budget neutral. So we're not, to respond to the representative from the far southwest, we're not creating a new agency. This is simply shutting down one unit in Agency 206. That's what our standing committee amendment yesterday did, shutting down the agency in 206 that is named School Safety and Security, transferring all the resources and positions over to Agency 15, the AG's office, for a new unit called School Safety and Security. And with this amendment, this makes us virtually budget neutral. So I'd ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number two to House Bill 144. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number two to House Bill 144 has passed the House. House Bill 144, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Now, hang on a second, Representative Winters. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a little bit of a break here, and we're honored to have in our presence the former Speaker of the House,
Colin Simpson, I'd ask him to address the body.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hi, folks. Wow, I haven't been back in this building for about 6 years. It's kind of scary. Thank you, Representative Zwanitzer, Dan, for letting me in. Representative Nicholas, I see, is back there in one of my favorite haunts. You know, we used to have the speaker fee. Representative Larson, it's great to see you here from Powell. Representative Crone, you as well. But, Mr. Speaker, I hear you're doing a wonderful job. I've only talked to two people, but they said you're doing a great job. Yeah. I'm really hearing good things about you all, and it's a pleasure to be back. I was down here for a little business today and thought I just had to stop by and say hello and all the familiar faces and the new faces. This is a wonderful institution. I did have a speech drafted that I wanted to. Yeah. I've given some long ones on this floor, haven't I, Mr. Speaker? But I hope things are going well for you and that you're taking care of yourselves and watching your health, because this place will run you into the ground if you let it. But congratulations to you all. And keep those smiles on your face. Wow, this is fun, just looking at everybody. But thank you, Mr. Speaker, and Madam Majority Floor Leader, nice to see you. But thanks so much for letting me just come up and say hi. Have a great session. Thanks.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 162. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 162 from Representative Wilson, an act relating to public health.
There are amendments. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am pleased to say this in a non-political sense, that everybody got a blue ribbon yesterday because everybody was right. And with this amendment, what you see in front of you with House Bill 162, there was an amendment that we divided yesterday from the House Standing Committee.
And Representative Winters, would you move your amendment before?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 162.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This right here just simply inserts the words. We were looking to take this language from Statute 3522-404B. And it looks as though the last half of B was left out of the bill, and that is not what the intention was. This simply reinserts that language. We're taking this from the advanced directive language and into the pulsed legislation here, because that's exactly what the pulsed legislation was built off of. And so that's what we're trying to do. We want to make sure that that's just added back in, and it answers the questions from yesterday. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 162. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 162 has passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 162. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 162 and ask for your favorable consideration. I've had a lot of emails and concerns over this bill, and so I was trying to do something that might make it a little more palatable. However, I'm not sure where I'm going to come out on this bill at the end of the process. With that being said, I just wanted to tell you what this amendment does. On page 1, line 6, after rulemaking, it inserts requiring the establishment of a registry. And basically what this would do was require the department to maintain a registry. And because the problem, as I see it, is we don't have 100% interoperability between all emergency medical service personnel. And this is the only way the LSO thought to accomplish the goal of my amendment. Basically, if a person has a post or has revoked a post, it would be very difficult to find that out, say, if you were in Torrington or in a town close to where I live and life flighted south of the border to another big hospital. And so that's one of the things that I was trying to address with this amendment. Also, I think it's very unclear as to what life-sustaining treatment actually is. When we get into issues like this, I always think about my grandma, who is 99 years old, and I'm pretty sure that when folks she comes into the hospital, they probably wouldn't argue that she is getting toward the end of her life. And so what exactly would be a life-sustaining treatment for her? When she was 91, she was on a stool, and she was up in a tree sawing down tree limbs. That's how active she is. She still lives out on the ranch and still has cattle and still has a half-acre garden. And so would that fixing her broken hip when she fell off of that stool been a life-sustaining treatment? I'm not sure, and I'm not sure how that would be looked at. So those are some of the heartburns I'm attempting to address in this amendment and the motivation for that. And so with that, I would stand for any questions.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question on this, the mandatory obligation to have this registry in place. How much of a breach of privacy are we looking at here?
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to provide a little background on some of these issues here, and that may clarify it a little bit. Back in 1993, the legislature passed what is known as the Comfort One program, which is current in statute, so it's been there for 22 years, and that was the statute that set out a process by which a person could say that they did not want CPR done on them. Okay, so this has been in statute for 22 years, and the department has a program by which a person who wants to not have CPR done on them can get a bracelet that says no CPR, basically. Or I mean, it says Comfort One, but that's what it means. And all EMTs in the state are trained on that. So if you think through the situation that might happen, an Alzheimer's patient being transferred from a nursing home to a hospital, or a stage four cancer person being transferred from hospice to a nursing home, really the only, as we are putting this bill together, the only thing that people need to know about immediately is the CPR issue. You know, it doesn't really happen that a person, that a provider needs to know in the next 1.5 minutes whether or not you want a feeding tube, or whether or not to operate on your hip when you have stage 4 bone cancer. I mean, so the only thing that really happens immediately is the CPR issue, and that is being handled currently. So when we wrote up the bill, we decided, and it says in the bill that over time, over a year or so, the department would roll the rules and regulations for this CPR issue into the process, because the bracelet thing is right now it only applies for the, don't do CPR. it is good practice, and many states do have registries for this, especially when you've got, you know, a population in the state of 40 million people or something, and you've got a lot of facilities and a lot of, you know, a registry is helpful. However, when I put the bill together, I remembered our many discussions in the last session about the collection of student data and the concerns that the body had about not collecting the data, and how we had so many bills saying we don't want anybody to collect any data on anybody. So when the doctors came to me, I looked at practices around the country, and I said, this is all good, we can put this all in, but I said, I don't think we want to put in the registry, because I think the body has been pretty clear that we didn't want to collect the data. So that's why there is no current registry in the bill, and we were just going to go with the, you know, what's the most urgent situation. If a person doesn't want CPR, they've got the bracelet. And then from there on, of course, the order form, this pulsed order form, would be in the person's chart if it's transferred from one place to the next. So that's how you would convey the rest of the information for what happens. I would also just point out that the fiscal note addresses just the bracelet issue, because that's what the department is doing now, and that is really all that I was asking them to do. And they would, if a person wants to say, I don't want CPR, and get the bracelet, they pay for the bracelet, and it's entirely self-sustaining. I mean, we just charge them like $29 for the bracelet, and it's good. I do think that asking the department to set up a registry would entail some further effort on their part. So I intend to vote no on the amendment for the reasons that I said, because I think we've addressed the most emergent issue, and I would be concerned about that. But, you know, certainly if it's the will of the body to have the department set up a registry of all this healthcare information, that is the rest of your decision. But as I say, I'm going to vote no.
Anyone else for the first time? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one other question on this mandated registry. It seems like every time we see these electronic systems come through appropriations, they've got at least several hundred thousand dollars attached to them as expense. And I'm just wondering if there's been any discussion with the department about that, and if there is any understanding of what the fiscal impact of that requirement is.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for that question. I have not spoken with the department, but LSO assured me there would be a large fiscal note on that. And so basically what we're dealing with here is, in my opinion, and how I feel about it, the lesser of two evils. Do we want to make sure that we are honoring these post directives and making sure that we are 100% clear of what the patient wants, or do we want to let it go as is and not be able? So at very least, maybe this would require an interim committee study to just see how that we are doing this correctly. So that would be the answer to that question.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 162. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 162 has failed. House Bill 162, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 205. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 205 from the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
There is an amendment. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is just another quick amendment to the revisor's bill, yet another typo, or a couple of them. On, if you'll just quick look on page 1, line 10, we're putting in after Romanet 20, putting in Romanet and Romanet 21, and then on page 5, after line 2, you'll see it saying Romanet 21 is request the fingerprints of an employee initially hired by a school district on or after July 1st, 1996, who may have access to minors in the course of blah, 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 blah. And then there's some numbering, which was wrong, and it is actually 201, not 210. So if there's no question, I call for the question.
Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 205. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 has passed. House Bill 205, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 208.
House Bill 208 from Representative Burkhart, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 208, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 216. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 216 from Representative Berger, an act relating to veterans.
There are amendments. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first amendment that I would like to move is second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 216. And this is just continuing the conversation, ladies and gentlemen, that this bill is all about veterans. And the first priority for the greenhouse living concept is that it would have first accommodate veterans. And so we started that process yesterday on page 2, and I had made some amendments to clean up language. And what we have in rules and regs is that we would accommodate persons that qualify that are military personnel. So I just want to add on line 18 at the bottom of page 3, the language I think that helps most of you realize that 75% of the occupants would be veterans first. The persons are qualifying dependents or the parents of the United States military personnel who were killed in the line of duty as provided by the statute, rule, or regulation of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. I hope that clarifies the questions that were on the floor yesterday. If there are no questions, please favorably vote aye.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 216. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 has passed. We're on second reading amendment number 2. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 216 and ask for your favorable consideration. We had a lengthy discussion yesterday about how this loan would work for the greenhouse living project. And, you know, it's a private-public partnership, but there are many steps to this project. This is just the first step of asking for a loan that would be taken out of the permanent land fund. And after our discussion yesterday on the floor, I've put several sideboards on the loan. But just to remind you, if we were to pass this concept through the House, it still has another chamber to go through, then we would have to work with our congressional delegation. We would have to apply to the Veterans Administration for this concept to even be a recipient of the 65% grant for the construction project. It would then have to review the greenhouse construction model. It would then have to come back to the state. It would have to then go through the State Land Investment Board and the Administration and Information Guidelines of Construction. So there are many steps that we would have to take as a state before the loan would actually even be given to go through this design and allow for this process to happen. So if you want to walk through with me based on suggestions and the discussion we had yesterday, on page 7, line 12, after the second paid, we would insert the interest at 3% per annum. And then the next more important language would be on page 7, line 15, recaptured, which shall not be later than 15 years from the date of construction completion of the Veterans Skilled Nursing Center. And then further on down on line 19, if the Veterans Skilled Nursing Center is sold, all proceeds shall be deposited into the Omnibus Permanent Land Fund. And the reason for that is, as if you remember yesterday, the loan, the land, we are required as the state that the land be owned by the state. The land we know now in the one location would be donated. Possibly it would be a different location in the state. We don't know that. But we know that for sure. We know that if we were to receive the 65% from the Veterans Administration and we were to receive the 35% from the state of Wyoming, we are required to own the building. We are required to have a management company manage at a 12% fee. But if for some reason we had to sell the building, I would want to make certain that those funds went back into the omnibus fund so that they could be used at a later date for some other project and make certain that the interest off of that fund were being used for other state facilities. So I want to make certain that we are making income and that we don't waste our revenues. So that's the purpose for that segment. And then if you go to page 10, we're reducing the amount that was in the original bill to $3,253,250. And again, we make an adjustment on page 11, line 5, again, a reduction from $3,115,000 down to $2,903,250. And then to add an extra protection, which is not typical, but again, based on our conversation, we would add language that said the Veterans Skilled Nursing Center project shall be constructed in accordance with the procedures of the construction management section within the General Service Division of the Department of Administration and Information and approved by the State Building Commission. And that is the amendment. I stand for questions.
Thurman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, and I think that this improves the bill, I think that there were some misconceptions that happened as we discussed this issue yesterday. And one is, as you know, the Department of Health maintains 5 state institutions. And one of those is located across the Bighorn Mountains from me, across a mountain range from me. How do you do this without saying names? And it's an assisted living facility. So that means, all right, you're kind of slipping a cog occasionally. You need a little bit of help. You can't get in and out of the tub by yourself. But for the most part, you do pretty good. And you just need reminders to take your medication. That is assisted living. But you still can own your car. You still can drive. You still can go where, come and go as you wish. This bill is a whole different proposition, and it's for veterans. This bill is a nursing home. Skilled nursing facility means you can't do much for yourself anymore. And looking at the number of veterans across the state and looking at the needs of veterans, we're going to need both the state facility that we own, and I would imagine we're going to need skilled nursing in more than one place in the state for veterans. Why not take advantage of the federal government paying 65% of the construction of the building? And it's true, you build the building and then they pay you back 65%, hence the loan. But I want to make it very clear that this is not in conflict with the study that is actively going for an assisted living facility in the community across the mountains from me. So this one would be located north of the existing assisted living facility. So what I'm trying to tell you is that we need both. And this is just the beginning of the process. It's not taking anything away from the study that we are doing that is just finished its first year. We still have another year to study the 5 state facilities. This is another type of facility to serve the needs of veterans and, in some cases, their families. So I would like your favorable consideration on the amendment and on the bill.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the majority floor leader. So, and just help me with this. When the loan's applied for, is there a business plan? I mean, does it go through that scrutiny to show that it can make the payback? You know, we've heard time frames, and this does have a 15-year time frame. And I think one of my concerns is that I don't want to be stuck. It's a bad term. We just don't want to have another building that we have to take care of. And so maybe if you can explain to me what that procedure is, you know, and in light of the fact we're counting on two funding sources, one from the VA for 102, and then what we're looking at from Medicaid, and how we've seen, hopefully we correct it this year, but how we have seen the Medicaid lag behind the increase in costs for care. And so, you know, this might be something that the pro formas work on year one, but 5 years as costs grow and the recoupment lags, it might create some difficulties. So those are my concerns on making sure that this performs as brought forth. So any help there would be great. And I know you got to remember all that and wait for everything else to be done.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for that question. From the
Representative or Madam Majority Floor Leader, could I ask you to hold up a minute? Do you want to speak for your second time right now?
Okay. No, Mr. Speaker, I better wait.
Thank you. Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And prior to my question, I just need to clarify some things that have been said. There was a wonderfully sugar-coated pill that was just handed to each of you, and before you swallow it, spit it out real quick, because it's just, we need to. So we were told that on the other side of the Bighorn Mountains, there's this assisted living facility, and it has nothing to do with what this bill is trying to accomplish. So let me just read verbatim from the Facility Task Force recommendation, and that is the Veterans Home is to construct a new domiciliary level, which is an assisted living facility, and a skilled nursing facility based on the greenhouse concept. So to build this facility, I would argue, is certainly in conflict with what the Facility Task Force has planned for the existing facility on the other side of the Bighorn Mountains. So just clarifying that, I feel that I will qualify for a veteran when I get done with this war. And I would like to ask, because I appreciate in the amendment that it says if the facility is sold, that the revenue would have to go back to the Omnibus Permanent Land Fund. And so my question is the presenter of the bill mentions that land for this skilled nursing facility is to be donated. Do we have documents in place, as sometimes when donated land is used, there are stipulations that state that if that, in the future, if that facility is sold, that those lands either revert back to the donor, or that they have to go to another use. And I just want to make sure that those documents are in place currently that give permission for that facility, if ever sold, to be, those lands would go free and unencumbered to the state, and we wouldn't have to pay anything for that land if they were sold. Thank you.
Herman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question on the amendment is just on line 35 of the amendment, and the inserted new language, paragraph D, it says a veteran skilled nursing center project shall be constructed in accordance with procedures of the construction management section and general service division, Department of A&I, and approved by the state building commission. So when I read that, I thought, okay, constructed. I'm reading this literally. Constructed according to the procedures, but the procedures before construction are the ones, I guess, that I've had the most concern about with this bill, and particularly the planning, the prioritization, the value engineering, the whole plan on how this is going to go down and how it's going to, and I see that as kind of this amendment seems to bring construction management in after all that's been decided. And so really, what would they decide on? Be constructed according to what? I mean, we know it would be local building codes, but I think the most important part that we go through, one of the most important part, is really the long-term planning and the queuing these up and how they fit into our whole strategy. And then we appropriate the money. We haven't ever borrowed from the Omnibus Land Fund for something like this. And so that's really my question, and then my concerns really with the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for all the good questions and the interest. You know, when I brought this concept to you about greenhouse living for Veterans Skilled Nursing Center, it is certainly a new concept. It's not novel. It's something that's been discussed in this chamber over the last 4 years, and certainly in the task force, it's being discussed for veterans as a way of taking care of our veterans, a more quality way of life for our veterans. I don't have all of the answers. It is a work in progress. It is many, many steps before we, the state, would be obligated to loaning out this money. We have loaned out money from the omnibus on many water development projects. Yes, they have to develop a plan. I would believe the intent, and it is, to have a plan. As I stated earlier when I presented the amendment, we have many steps that we have to go through yet and discussions to even have a model to bring to A&I to even make that approval of the model. So this is not decided in advance. So I believe we have quite a bit of control over what this is going to look like. Yes, the Veterans Administration does have requirements of what we must meet in order to receive the 65% reimbursement for construction. Because we know today in the state of Wyoming, there is no long-term care facility that qualifies for those monies. None. And we do not have a long-term care facility in Wyoming that can provide for our veterans. Therefore, we know, based on the task force study, we only have one facility at the Veterans facility in Buffalo, Wyoming, that is state-run, that has assisted care. When those folks need long-term care or acute care, if they need acute care, they have to go to the hospital that's within that city, or they have to be transported to the Veterans Hospital in the city north of Buffalo at the Veterans Administration to be taken care of. And they do have at that facility a long-term care. Or they could also be transported here to this facility in our capital city. That's their options. They're very limited. So that's why the task force will look down the road. But as we know, members of us that have been involved in task force, we're several years out yet before we'll have a decision when we'll raise part of the existing facility, design, build, and have a place for our veterans to reside. My estimate is somewhere probably 3, 4, 5 years from now. Several million dollars. I had a business plan, a minimal business plan, because we are certainly not in the deep conversation of what that exactly costs. There are many national companies that provide the contract service across many states that have this type of prototype in their state providing for long-term care, that you can pull their site off and look at different business plan models. But we do have one existing in our state that is a nonprofit, so I've worked up those figures, and that's how I came to sort of the payback, having the sinking fund involved so that the state would have a state-run facility that would have a maintenance fund in there so that it would be self-sustaining. My understanding is based on the veterans' funding for the patient and their private pay or their Medicaid, it should be self-sustaining. It should be money-making, minimal But I think that's okay as long as we can cover our costs and provide a quality of care for vets. That should be our number one priority, and be able to sustain the building. And as far as the donated land, I don't know those final details. I know that the land is donated in the location that we're discussing. It is for veterans. What would be negotiated if we had to sell the building? Quite honestly, that's above my pay grade today. We'd have to work out those details. But I think I answered all the questions at this moment for that. So thank you for the great debate and questions.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 216. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 216 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Like I said, second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 216 has failed. House Bill 216 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 222. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 222 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to sibling visitation rights.
There are amendments. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 222. Very simple change, folks. If you go to page 2, line 10, this is where it's instructing the court on how to handle a proceeding that's been brought on behalf of or by someone who has reached majority. As it currently states, it says the court shall grant reasonable visitation rights for the siblings. This changes the shall to may. So in other words, it's not mandatory that the court shall grant visitation rights. If the court finds it's in the best interest of the child and the family, then the court may grant it. So it makes it discretionary as opposed to mandatory. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I view this as a friendly amendment and would support it myself. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 222. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 222 has passed the House. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 222. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move a second reading amendment to House Bill 222 and ask for its favorable consideration. This was a bill I supported in committee, but I'm starting to have some doubts on because of some of the issues that were raised regarding parental rights yesterday. So I wanted to at least bring this so we could have the discussion. What this amendment would do is cause this bill to only apply to children who are in foster care or under the state's control, so that it would leave children who are living with their parents under the control of their parents. So that's what this would do. I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Cohen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I really think this is not necessary. I believe that under the jurisdiction of the juvenile court, the court would have the authority to do this without any additional statutory authority. I think the purpose of this bill is for those situations outside of the juvenile court. So I would request that the body reject this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intent of this bill when we brought this was when we have some real conflicts between parents or guardians and the siblings are involved, after you've gone through this step and this step, then you go to a judge, and the judge then has the discretion to decide in those cases. With this amendment, we are limiting what the bill was really intending to do, and we are getting some of the kids that we're looking at and trying to come up with their best interest, but the bill is trying to get all of these kids to be looked at and having some discretion on whether the parents or the guardians are, I guess, using best judgment, or they're fit or unfit, maybe is the right term. So I'm speaking against this amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And ladies and gentlemen, you heard my discussions about this bill yesterday. I still have all those same reservations, and so I'm in favor of this amendment and opposed to the bill in general. And I might add, and I don't know if I mentioned it yesterday, but the courts currently have jurisdiction when they are doing a divorce proceedings or modification of custody to direct parents to and to listen to siblings and follow their desires if they want to go see a fellow sibling. So in point of fact, the ability of the court already exists to do kind of what this bill is there to do. All this does is kind of outline it in statute and makes it maybe a stronger directive to the court, but the power already exists. And I've been in situations, in fact, I thought about the other day, where the court has done that. And so in favor of the amendment and against the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 222. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 222 has failed. House Bill 222, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 231. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 231 from Representative Baker, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program.
House Bill 231, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. We're now on that order of business of third reading regular on bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 163. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 163 from Representative Hunt, an act relating to public health, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 163 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the amendment that I suggested I would bring forth on Committee of the Whole. What this does, ladies and gentlemen, is, as we recall, this is an existing program with existing funds, and there are some communities that don't actually have hospitals. So what this is allowing is there's another entity that is allowed in state law, and that's called a rural health care district, where there is no hospital. That would allow those entities, through the same mechanisms as a hospital, but not in competition with a hospital, access to these matching funds in support of their rural health care district providing health care services. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is straightforward. They don't get any special consideration. They cannot compete with an existing hospital. There are none. There are four such these districts in the state, two of which were just enacted in the most recent law. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration and answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'm sorry, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you for the promotion, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this to be a friendly amendment. I think it balances out nicely with the other facilities already concerned in the bill, so I would ask you aye vote.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I stand on in support of this amendment. My community is one of those that has a rural health care district and may be seeking a hospital, so I appreciate the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of questions. I understand that this is an expansion of the number of groups, I guess now we can say, that qualify for the matching funds. So my question now, does this divide the pot? Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, as you heard, the bringer of the bill. This bill did two things. It extended the deadline as well, because these monies were going to get lost. And this is an expansion, if you will, under a definition saying another group of communities that do not have hospitals. Let's be clear. They do not have hospitals would have access to these funds in the same manner as the hospitals were if there were one in those in their community. So this is allowing a group that to access these funds. Now, the question is this dividing the pot further? Some of these hospitals, this has to go through a foundation. There has to be private matching dollars to be eligible for this. And many of those hospitals have already maxed out on their eligibility for this program. So there's already folks that are no longer eligible because they've maxed out on their matching funds, and they're not. Now, there are some hospitals that don't have these foundations. And not all of these healthcare districts have foundations. In fact, only one of them does. So, but all hospitals have this available to them if they're in the critical access category. And now we are adding, at least at this point, just one rural health district with possibly two more. Now, to go to the further discussion, certainly would I like to see this process funded further in future years and get more healthcare out there to our citizens, especially in our rural communities? Absolutely. Dividing the pot, potentially, but quite honestly, many of the communities that could take advantages already have, and they're no longer eligible for it. That's my understanding. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 163. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 63 has passed the House. House Bill 163 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey, Petrov,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
House Bill 163, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 163 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 174. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 174 from Representative Walters, an act relating to nicotine products, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 174, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
No.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Greer. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 20 no.
House Bill 174, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 174 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 224. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 224 from Representative Baldwin, an act relating to penalties for violating fire restrictions, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 224, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Madden, McKim, Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no.
House Bill 224, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 224 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 235. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 235 from Speaker Brown. An act relating to foreign corporations and foreign limited liability partnerships, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 235, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no.
House Bill 235, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 235 has passed the House. Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I get a privilege of the floor?
Yes, please.
So this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I was given a note that the junior leadership of Laramie County were in attendance in the gallery, and I looked everywhere for them, and all there were we introduced the previous guests. The good representative next to me introduced them as the Albany County junior leadership, which the Laramie County junior leadership, when in fact they're the Laramie County from my district, junior leadership. So if you'd please make welcome the Cheyenne area residents of Laramie County junior leadership. Welcome again.
And Mr. Speaker, privilege.
Representative
Connolly, and my mea culpa to my Laramie folks, I believe, are in the West Gallery now, if you can welcome them.
Okay. We are now at that order of business of bills on general file. Representative Larson. Whoa. You're right. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to hear the following bills on general file, Senate File 22, 53, 49, 16, and 13.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Larson, I hope I didn't diminish the enthusiasm for your...
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration today is Senate File 22. The reading of the clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 22 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities remediation projects, authorizing expenditure of previously appropriated funds, establishing a prioritized list of projects, authorizing the Department of Environmental Quality limited discretionary authority to modify the prioritized list, providing a definition, providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 22, Landfill Remediation Priority List, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Candidate, Edmonds, Gay, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 22 do pass, and I'd like to turn the explanation of it over to the good representative from House District 20, there are no amendments. So with that, it goes to that good representative from House District 20.
Representative Somers, please.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Fellow members of the 63rd, I bring you Senate File 22 and ask for your favorable consideration. Senate File 22 is the Landfill Remediation Priority List and was a committee bill. Let me give a little background on the Landfill Remediation Program. It began evaluations in 2006. A June 2014 report showed 113 facilities were evaluated and 3 were consolidated. 82 have evidence of contamination, 14 need additional information, and 14 had no detection of contamination. The revised estimated cost of the program is $280 million. The state share is $210 million, or 75%. The landfill remediation count has $45 million, including the 2014 appropriation of $17 million. During the 2014 legislative session, House Bill 1, Section 333C restricted use of funds until a prioritized list was approved by the legislature. Let me walk you through the bill. Section 1, subsection A, simply defines an acronym. Starting on page 2, subsection B is the priority list of projects 1 through 82. Page 6, subsection C, DEQ can modify the list. 1, to optimize efficiency, 2, based on project readiness, 3, based on compliance with program qualifications or conditions, and 4, to address emergency or immediate environmental concern. Subsection D states that DEQ will report any modifications to the list to the Minerals Committee by June 30th of each year. Page 7 is simply Section 2. This act is effective immediately upon execution. This is the remediation priority list. Later we will see a priority list for the cease and transfer program. I would stand for questions.
Any comments on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 22 pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, if any. The next bill for our consideration will be Senate File 53. The reading clerk will read the bill. Maybe. We caught him.
Is it my turn?
No, we didn't inconvenience you.
See you later. There is one. Senate File 53 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections, amending time limits for special election proceedings related to vacancies in the United States House of Representatives, establishing time limit for ballot preparation and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 53 engrossed special elections-time limits, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye was Representative Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danswanser, signed by Representative Dan Zwan, Mr. Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwan, Mr. Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so the recommendation that Senate File 53 do pass, and I would turn over management of the bill to Representative Kirkbride.
Representative Kirkbride, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 53, Special Elections Time Limits. The Elections Department downstairs brought this bill in the interim because Wyoming statutes could not comply with federal law in the event of a special election needing to be held to fill a vacancy in our House of Representatives position. This would be a rare occasion. We haven't had a special election like this to fill a congressional vacancy since 1989, but we need to make sure we're prepared in the event that it might happen again. The current statute requires the state to hold an election within 55 days of a vacancy being declared. However, in 2009, the Military Overseas Voter Empowerment Act, or the MOVE Act, passed, which requires all ballots for any primary, general, or special election be available to send to these citizens 45 days prior to the election. Therefore, we could not meet that requirement. That's the bill and the work that was done on it in the interim. The first changes are on page one and have to do with computing periods of time, creating all the timelines needed to conduct any election. The section on page two, lines 9 through 15, were added so that we would never end up having the special election on a Saturday, Sunday, or a holiday. In the next section, the statute requires a special election unless the vacancy occurs within 6 months of the next general election. If the vacancy occurs within the 6 months of the general election, then the vacant office would appear on the regular general election ballot. But if not, then the special election has to be held. In the event that we'd have to hold a special election, we would have to change the timeline within which a special election would need to be held in order to accommodate those military and overseas voters who needed to have their ballots sent 45 days prior to the election. So, on page 3, lines 1 through 5, the election would be held on the Tuesday following the 89th day after the vacancy occurs, unless, of course, that Tuesday falls on a full legal holiday. If that happens, the election would be held then on the next Tuesday, which is not a full legal holiday. Also on page 3, lines 18 and 21, the body in the West End amended the bill for the time the candidates can file from 7 days to 7 days from the 5 days after the vacancy is declared. It had been 15 days in the current law. And on page 4, line 4, there are 5 days at the end of the filing period when the Secretary of State's office certifies which candidates will be on the ballot along with their party affiliation. Also on page 4, line 17 to 19, this change gives the clerks 12 days to prepare the ballots and conduct the election. This is new language. The old language didn't give them any time to prepare the ballots. And that's the bill, fellow legislators, with an immediate effective date. I stand for questions.
Any questions on the bill? Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question on that page, the 2218-106, and that change from 15 to 7 days. And I'm not totally familiar with this procedure, but it seems like if we're lengthening the amount of days for the election, I don't understand why we're shortening the amount of time for candidates to make the decision and file for the nomination. And if you could just explain that a little bit, maybe.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the feeling was that the parties would have some idea of who might be out there that would run for a position like this, even though it's happening perhaps out of the blue, but that would not be a total void of people who might want to run, and that the 7 days would be adequate time. So it was 15. The interim committee had it at 5. The West Enders moved it back up to 7, and that's where this bill stands.
Any other comments? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole arises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Senate File Number 53 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, if any. Senate File 53 has passed Committee of the Whole, and the next bill for our consideration will be Senate File 49. The clerk, are we okay? The reader. The reader extraordinaire will read the bill.
Senate File 49 has been postponed. No. Senate File 49 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to initiatives and referendums, repealing prior initiative and referendum provisions, creating a separate initiative and referendum provisions, revising initiative and referendum procedures and language, removing restrictions on circular qualifications and pay as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 49 engrossed, Initiative and Referendum Revisions, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danswanesser, signed by Representative Danswanesser, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Chairman Zwanesser Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 49 do pass, and I would turn over management of the bill to Representative Lindholm from District Number 1.
Thank you. Representative Lindholm, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to go ahead and walk through kind of the history of how this came about. What we're looking at here is something that the Corporations Committee studied pretty hard over the interim. And they studied, this bill covers your initiative and referendum process. There was a few things noticed that were very cumbersome, and they tried to administer this process during the most recent referendum, which was followed during the 2013 session, and that's in reference to Senate File 104. So this bill came through the committee, and there are really about 9 points of the bill that we're going to go over. Before we address those 9 points, though, I'd like to remind everybody that the initiative and referendum process is addressed in statute in Title 22, Chapter 24, and also in the Wyoming Constitution, Article 3 and Section 52. So remember, the initiative process, of course, is when a group wants to bring a new bill to the statutes, and the referendum is when a group does not agree with something this body has passed during a legislative session, and they come to refer a certain bill back to the people to let the people decide on the issue. And I'm going to go ahead and warn everybody right now, as you can see, this bill is a pretty big bill, so this is going to take me a little bit here. Both processes are done through a petition process, and both processes require the same amount of signatures to get the issue on the ballot. However, there are different time frames that are used for each process. The Secretary of State's office is the office that these groups have to go through in order to accomplish either of these endeavors. So, getting on to the bill. As you can see, during the interim, our committee voted to break the initiative and referendum processes out into two different articles of Chapter 24. And you can see that starting on Section 1, Line 10 on Page 1. We've created Wyoming Statute 22-24-301 through 323, and that's for the initiative, and then also for the referendum, the 401 through 420 series. Breaking these out into two processes in the articles will help clarify the differences in administering each of these processes, as currently these processes are mixed together, and it's very hard to tell when the law is referring to the initiative and when it is referring to the referendum. I also think it will make it much clearer to two groups which are trying to get an initiative or a referendum to the ballot. The current statutes refer to two different groups, which are discussed in statute by the term sponsors and circulators. So during the interim, it was asked that these groups be defined better, because sometimes you didn't know if the laws were referring to the circulators or the sponsors, and they were referred to as one in the same sometimes when they should not have been. So this bill clarifies who are the sponsors of the bill and who are the circulators, and it also refers to three individuals who bring the initiative or referendum as the applicants. The sponsors will be the 100 supporters of the initiative or referendum, and the circulators are any of those plus additional people who want to circulate. And you'll see references to this occurring literally throughout the bill. removing references to only Wyoming residents being able to circulate the petitions in response to the recent case law from the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. Also removes current references to the prohibition of payments for those collecting signatures based on case law in other jurisdictions where it's been found to be unconstitutional. Also clarifying the certification process of especially the initiative and provides for a conditional certification while the group is collecting the 100 sponsor signatures. Pardon me. Also on page 8 of the bill, we change the process for providing the fiscal impact statement for the initiative so that it is not such a cyclical process. With this revision, the fiscal impact information would not be requested over and over from other agencies until the initiative is certified. It also permits more time for the group bringing the initiative to bring their suggestions as to the fiscal impact of the state. Clarification, more specificity about the petition form itself. We tried to clarify a little more about how the form should look in order to give accurate information to those people who would be signing the petition. Clarification about which court will be used for an appeal process should there be any appeal of any kind. Current statute refers to the circuit district court, so those references were changed to rely on district courts for any appeal processes, as that is the court that would be used for all other elections or campaign finance issues. Clarification about what gets published, when an initiative or referendum is actually going to the ballot. That's what's always been published is really the language that will appear on the ballot, not the complete text of the bill, as that could be 40 to 50 pages long. So we're asking for clarification that just the text of the ballot language be published and the entire text of the initiative or referendum be available on the Secretary of State's website where it can be easily viewed. So this part of the bill is on page 17, lines 10 through 23, and page 18, lines 1 through 3, also again on page 32, lines 1 through 17. Mr. Chairman, there are also main points of the bill. There is an error in the first version of this bill that was corrected in the Senate about the language in the bill that describes how the petition should look, so when there are circulators being paid to circulate. And what we've got in there is we've got stated that it's got to, if a circulator is being paid, we've got it on there that it's actually got to be in 12-point, and that's on page 10, lines 11 through 13, 12-point, that they are actually being paid to do that. Also on page 25, lines 17 through 18. It does not change the signature requirement for either of these processes, nor does it change any deadline requirements, which may seem detrimental to some groups. But the Secretary of State's office does not take a stand, or they didn't testify to take a stand on any of those deadlines. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Lindholm. Questions? Fine. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Wanasser's motion that when the Committee of the Whole arise to report it, do so with recommendation that Senate File 49 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 49 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration will be Senate File 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 16 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act, adding specified controlled substances to Schedule 1 of the Act and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 16 engrossed controlled substances, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Crone, Pinnell, and Winters. Three no votes, Representatives Croker, Miller, and Pelkey. Signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 16 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments, and I'll explain the bill and the amendments. This is an old friend on controlled substances. We come here every year, and we add a few unpronounceable names to the list. What we did in the Standing Committee amendment is we added some more synthetic
cannabinoids to the list, so they're added in the Standing Committee Amendment. And also on page 3 of the bill, under definitions, the Senate had added a number of substances, red phosphorus, ammonium nitrate, ammonium sulfate, lithium metal strips, and sulfuric acid. And we tried to have a discussion in committee on these additions, which some on the committee questioned that these common materials were being added to the list. The list is quite extensive, and, you know, we never did get a good explanation of why we were needing to add these items to the list, so a motion was made to remove on page 3, line 12 through page 4, line 10. So that's what the amendment does. It removes those items that were added in the Senate and also adds the 4 new items on page 1 of the Standing Committee Amendment. So with that, I'll call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Thank you, Chairman Miller. Group, if you've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment, are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. Chairman Miller, we're back on your bill.
We'll just stand for questions now if anyone has any. This is an old friend that comes every year. We wish we could figure out why we just can't let them have a list somewhere else to where we don't have to come back with legislation every year. We're still looking at that and may come with a second or third reading amendment to try to do that so we don't see this every year. But vote aye on the bill.
Any discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole arises to report it, do so with recommendation that Senate File 16 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed? Senate File 16 has passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to add a few bills to the general file prior to breaking for lunch. Below Senate File 13, I'd like you to add Senate File 5, 26, and 32. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor? Committee reports or committee representatives wanted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee announcement for committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at noon today in H18 to hear Senate File 37, State Protection of Data Privacy, Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force, and Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Elections.
Representative Big Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation Highway Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in room H17 to hear the following 3 bills. Senate File 30, Engrossed Camp Guernsey Range Management Fund, Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, and Senate File 81, Engrossed Kevin's Law.
Thank you, Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning in room H18 to consider the 4 Senate files, Senate File 23, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission Amendments, Senate File 24, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority Amendments, Senate File 25, Cease and Transfer Priority List, and Senate File 34, Interstate Mining Compact Commission Membership. And as a heads up for the Minerals Committee, we're going to meet on Thursday morning at 8 o'clock about, and then Tuesday of next week at 8 o'clock, as opposed to the Monday and Wednesday that we, or Monday and Friday that we would normally have.
Thank you, Representative Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Committee number 2 will meet upon noon recess immediately to hear re-referred bills, Senate File 20, School Finance, Excess Mill Levy Rebate, and Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension. And, Mr. Chairman, tomorrow at 9 a.m., Committee number 2 will meet in room 204, February 11th, to hear committee bills, Senate File 60, Deferred Compensation Plan, Automatic Enrollment, and Senate Joint Resolution 2, Engrossed Investment of State Funds. Thank you.
Is everyone invited?
I'm sorry?
Is everyone invited?
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Is everyone invited to your committee meeting?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. And everyone is invited, and we have very comfortable chairs out there that most of you have experienced. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting Wednesday, February 11th, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in room H10 to hear Senate File 63, Predator Ownership, and Senate File 6, Aquatic Invasive Species, and everyone is welcome to attend.
Chairman Patton, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee on education number 4 will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, immediately after adjournment to consider Senate File 10, Education Administration.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1 will meet in 10 minutes. In room H8 to consider the following bills, Senate File 12, Trespassing to Collect Data, Senate File 38, Controlled Substances. And everyone's welcome to attend.
Thank you. We appreciate the invitation. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Labor Committee will not meet today. They're doing such good work. They're overworked. They're tired. And so they're going to meet tomorrow upon adjournment and in room H17. Where we'll hear Senate File 31, Department of Health Reports Cleanup, Senate File 102, Engrossed Medical Billing Provisional Providers.
Thank you. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenue Committee Number 3 will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, at 8 o'clock in Room 1, H11, and we're going to discuss one bill at Senate File 42, Task Force on Mineral Taxation.
Thank you. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I want to go over again the general file list just in case you missed the numbers. So we'll continue with Senate File 13, then add Senate File 5, Senate File 26, Senate File 36. Okay, the next piece of business I'd like to go over. Okay, one more time. Senate File 13, Senate File 5. Senate File 26, Senate File 32.
Thank you.
Okay. Next piece of business. I would like you, tomorrow, Wednesday, remember we have the Governor's Prayer Breakfast at 7 a.m., and then we will gavel in at 10 a.m. Then we will start tomorrow, we will have second reading and third reading, and then we will start the Committee of the Whole on House Bill 1, the budget. So you might want to start in your free time this afternoon looking over the budget. Then on Thursday, February 12th, we will gavel in at 8 a.m. 8 a.m., February 12th. And I hope that we can work really hard and be able to depart early that day. All right? Thank you.
Committee of the Whole is adjourned till 2 p.m.